Welcome once again to Good Hope Through Grace. I'm Pastor Jeff Arthur, Sr. of the Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft, West Virginia. I'd like to draw your attention this evening to the book of Romans chapter 10, and we'll continue our study through the book of Romans. We're going to focus tonight on verses 5 through verse 10. It says, "For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. What saith it? The word is nigh or near thee, even in thy mouth, in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thine heart, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." We're going to title the message this evening, "The Accessibility of Salvation." The accessibility of salvation. How do you get saved? How do you get saved? We've been talking a whole lot here in the past few weeks about the righteousness of faith. That is the righteousness which comes by faith in Jesus Christ. When you put faith in Jesus Christ, then he charges to your account his righteousness. That's why it's called the righteousness which is of faith. Well, how do you access this righteousness? How do you access this salvation? Well, that will be the focus of the message tonight. Is there something hard that you have to do in order to access the salvation which comes by faith? Well, I pretty well answered the question whenever I said you access it by faith. Indeed, that's how you access salvation. Well, let's go ahead and look down through the text and show how the text does indeed show that you don't access salvation by some strenuous effort on your part, but salvation is accessible only through the means of faith, faith in Christ Jesus. Let's go ahead and look at our text, verse 5, it said, "Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live in them." Now, it says, it speaks of the law here, and we've talked about the law many times in our radio broadcast, and there's really three types of law. There is the moral law, which is the Ten Commandments. There was in the Old Testament also the civil law. That's the laws that governed Israel as a nation. For instance, the Ten Commandments said, "Thou shalt not steal," but then the civil laws of Israel told you what to do with a thief. The moral law or the Ten Commandments told you, "Thou shalt not murder," but then the civil laws of Israel told you what to do with a murderer. So you can see the difference between the moral law and the civil law. Now, the ceremonial law was a sacrifice system. So there's three types of law. So in this context, the type of law we're referring to is the moral law. And in other words, the Ten Commandments. Now, it says Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. Now, to be saved by keeping the Ten Commandments or by keeping the law, the requirements of doing that is 100% righteousness. The first point this evening that I want you to see is salvation is not accessible by the law. In other words, you can't keep the Ten Commandments the best you can and then go to heaven. If you understand the demands of the law, then you can understand that you cannot be saved by your works, because the demands of the law are too great in order for us to be access heaven by them. Now, just think for a little bit. If you could be saved by keeping the Ten Commandments best you could, then Jesus would have never had to come and die. Look, Galatians said, if there had been a law given whereby could have given life, verily salvation would have been by the law. The fact that Jesus had to come, be born, live a perfect life, go to Calvary and die and rise again, is clear evidence that there was no other way you could be saved other than through Jesus. So if you could be saved by the commandments, you see, it just makes common sense when you look at it that salvation would have been that way if it could have been that way. But it can't be, because the demands of the law are too great. You got to do them. It says here in Romans 10:5, he which doeth those things shall live in them. Well, the requirement's 100% obedience. The book of Galatians chapter 3, a text we've read so many times on this broadcast, I almost feel ashamed to go read it again, but I don't guess I should. I've read it so much, but it says in Galatians chapter 3, in verse 10, it says, for many as are of the works of the law, that's someone that's trying to keep the law to get saved, is under the curse, for it is written, cursed. Hear that word, cursed? Cursed is everyone that doesn't continue in all the things, or that continues not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So if you don't keep all the things which are in the law, all the Ten Commandments, keep them 100%, it says then you're cursed. The book of Galatians 3 and verse 13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse. What curse? The curse of the law. You commit one sin. The definition of sin is a transgression of God's law. You break God's law in one point, then you're guilty and you're cursed and you need a Savior. So the law can't save you. So in this message entitled The Accessibility of Salvation, you cannot access salvation by the law or by the Ten Commandments. Demands are too great. You have to do the law, which means you have to do it 100%. One sin makes you a sinner. One sin makes you cursed. James 2:10, it says you keep the whole law, but you offend in one point, you're guilty. You're guilty. Offended in one point, you're guilty. Cursed and guilty. Without Jesus, that's your position before God, is that you're cursed and you're guilty. It can't save you. So when you really understand the demands of the law being 100% obedience, you can understand why, since we always say no man is perfect except for one, the only one that's ever perfect was Jesus. You're not perfect, so that means you're cursed and guilty unless you've trusted Jesus. And when you trust Jesus, that curse, that sin debt, is paid. Now, what is the curse of the law? It's the second death. You die physically, but if you haven't received your debt paid, your sin curse removed, then you will experience the second death, which is what the curse for breaking the law is. The curse for sin, the sin curse, is the second death, which Revelation 20 describes as the lake of fire. That is the punishment. That is the curse for transgression, for the transgression of God's law. So salvation is not accessible by the law because the demands are too great. The requirements, 100% obedience. You can't do it. Well, the purpose of the law is to give the knowledge of sin. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9 says, by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law reveals you're a sinner. It's like a thermometer. When you get a temperature and the doctor puts a thermometer in your mouth and it shows you got a temperature, the purpose of the thermometer is to show your problem. It's not a cure. You don't eat the thermometer when you got a fever, do you? Because the thermometer is not for that. It's a gauge. It shows you got a problem. That's how the law is. The Ten Commandments shows you have a problem. How you use the law lawfully is when you take the law and you show people that they've broken it. Well, most people think if they do the best they can, then they will earn heaven. But you can't do enough to earn heaven. That's why you need a Jesus. That's why you need a Savior. That's why you need His righteousness. That's the reason. Without Jesus, you'll never have enough to go to heaven. It's only through Him. There was a rich young ruler that came to Jesus one day and asked Him, good Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? You know what Jesus did? He took him to the law. And the rich young ruler, when he's speaking of the commandments, said, all these have I kept from my youth up. And Jesus said, one thing you lack. Go sell all you have and come and follow me. You know what he did? He said, the Bible says that he went away discouraged because he had great possessions. Why did Jesus take him to the law? Why did he take him to the commandments? Matter of fact, he said, this do and ye shall live. Well, the rich young ruler seen that he was a sinner, that he really hadn't kept the commandments. He said, all these have I kept from my youth up. But once Jesus revealed to him that he was covetous, the Bible says he went away very sorrowful. Well, what was it? Why did he take him to the law? Jesus was using the law lawfully. You know, it's one thing to go around and tell everybody they need to be saved. You need to be saved. You need to be saved. You got to show why they need to be saved. And why they need to be saved is because they've broken the law. I use the law often in this radio broadcast to show people why they need to be saved. You need to be saved because you broke God's law and you're cursed. You're under a sin debt. You're under a sin curse. You're guilty. And you don't want to die there. To die there is to die in your sin. You need a Savior. So in this message tonight entitled The Accessibility of Salvation, it's not accessible by the law. And again, you just look at it and figure that out, because if you could access salvation by the law, Jesus would have never had to come and die on Calvary. Now, when you understand you can't access it by the law, then you can also understand you cannot access it by your works either. Well, let's move on down into verse 6. How do you access it? Well, it's not accessible by the law, and it's also not accessible by great effort. A lot of people working really hard trying to earn salvation. But the salvation is a gift of God. Look at Romans chapter 6 says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Eternal life is a gift. You know the difference between a gift and a wage? Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. A wage is something you earn. A gift is something you receive. A gift is something someone else worked for and gives to you. Well, eternal life isn't a wage you earn. There's no one that earns eternal life. If you could earn eternal life, you'd never need a Jesus again. Eternal life is a gift that Jesus purchased by dying on Calvary and rising again. And he gives you that gift when you trust him as your Savior, as this text is going to show us. So it says in verse 6, righteousness, which is of faith, speaketh on this wise. Say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven? Or verse 7, who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. Let me read those two verses again. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in your heart, who shall descend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. Now what he's doing in this text is he's, from these two proverbial statements, when you want to describe something hard, something being very hard, you'd say you have to descend up into heaven or you have to descend into the deep. And it's actually a quote from the book of Deuteronomy. And let me go ahead and turn to that particular text and we'll read it. The book of Deuteronomy, and let's go ahead and I believe it's chapter 30, Deuteronomy chapter 30. And let me show you that, read it back in the book of Deuteronomy to get the meaning here in the book of Romans. So the apostle Paul, to prove his point, he goes all the way back into the Old Testament and he draws out a text of scripture and then he applies it to the accessibility of salvation. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 30, let me go ahead and find our text. Let's notice down into the verse 14, or verses 12 through 14. It says, it is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is near unto thee, it's in your mouth, and it's in your heart, that thou mayest do it. Now he said in verse 11, for this commandment, which I command thee this day, is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. And then he goes on to say, now he's speaking of the law here. This is in the latter stages of the book of Deuteronomy. And Moses had written the law. And he tells them that the law wasn't hidden from them. They don't have to ascend up to heaven to hear it or receive it, nor do they have to descend or go beyond the sea is how it's given in Deuteronomy. They don't have to go beyond the sea to get it, but Moses had give it to them. And for that reason, he said it was near unto them. It's in your mouth and in your heart. Well, Paul's doing the same thing here in Romans. He changes it around just a little bit in the book of Romans chapter 10. And he applies this to the righteousness which comes by faith. He says you don't have to ascend up to heaven in order to obtain this righteousness and obtain this salvation. Nor do you have to descend unto the deep to do it. He says it's near to you. It says the word is near to you. That's the same thing Moses said about the law in the Old Testament. It's near to you. You don't have to go up to heaven to get it, or you don't have to cross the sea to get it, or you don't have to ascend into the abyss to get it. It's accessible. In other words, it's not going to require great effort on your part. It's not something you have to travel up to heaven to get, or travel down below to get, or travel across the sea to get. It's accessible. It's not something that you get by great effort on your part. And that's the design of these two, this quote from the book of Deuteronomy. That's how he's using it. See, our message is entitled The Accessibility of Salvation. And the idea of it is it's near. It's accessible. It's not going to take great effort on your part to receive it. That's what these two illustrations that he uses are designed to convey. So, in this message entitled The Accessibility of Salvation, it doesn't come by the law, nor does it come by great effort on your part. Now, certainly, when you're saved, you want to put forth great effort to please the Lord. But folks, you can't serve the Lord till you're saved. If you're serving the Lord to get saved, then your service for the Lord is of no avail. You got to serve the Lord because you are saved. Man, if you're trying to get saved, you're trying to save yourself by your works, you'll never access salvation by any effort. It's not your efforts that saved you. You don't have to descend up to heaven to get it, nor do you have to cross the sea to get it, nor do you have to descend into the abyss to get it. It's near, is what he's saying. It's accessible. How do you access it? Well, he mentions that in verse 9. Here's how this salvation, this righteousness, here's how you access it. Verse 9. If thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You see, this is a salvation that is accessed by faith. And that is the stress of the entire book of Romans. Romans chapter 5, I want to read verse 1. We've read that so many times in the past. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's the word access. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. You see, the access of salvation is faith. That's how you get in. That's the way in. It doesn't come by the law. It doesn't come by great effort on your part. It's near. You have to cross the sea to get it. You don't have to go up into heaven, ascend up to heaven to get it, or you don't have to descend into the abyss to get it. It's near. And you receive it by faith in Christ Jesus. That's what the text shows. It's an accessible salvation. And you can be saved tonight as you're listening to me right here on this radio broadcast, in your car, by your radio at home. It says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you confess Him. You believe in your heart. Now the actual order of that would be first you believe in your heart. Verse 10 says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness. It happens in the heart first. If it don't happen in the heart, then it won't last. But if it's in the heart, we'll ask. And, of course, the Holy Spirit quickens the heart and opens the heart. Lydia was a seller of purple whose heart the Lord opened. Oh, I'm so thankful for the day the Lord opened my heart. And then I seen Jesus, and I seen why He died, and I trusted Him. See, the word believe means not only to believe that He existed, or even to believe just that He died and rose again. These are facts. Believe is stronger in Scripture. It means to trust it. Put your confidence in it. When I say I believe on Jesus, that means I trust in Jesus. Trust that He died for me. I trust that He rose again the third day. I trust Him to His righteousness. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's where my confidence is at. It's the righteousness which comes by faith, which we preached on last week. Verse 6 says, the righteousness which is of faith. See, it's a righteousness that comes by faith. Many don't know of it. Many go about just like the unbelieving Jews did. Look back at Romans 10:3. They've been ignorant of God's righteousness. That's the righteousness of Jesus that comes by faith. They go about to establish their own righteousness. And they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. When you realize you are a sinner and you can't save yourself, and when you understand what the law's demands are and you can see that, and you see that, then you submit to Christ's righteousness. You submit yourself into the righteousness of God. You trust in Jesus, and then He gives you His righteousness. And then your unrighteousness is charged to Jesus. And you are justified, declared righteous, based on what Jesus did. So you believe in your heart. You believe in your heart. And then it says, you, with the mouth, confession is made in salvation. When you're saved, you need to profess it. Sometimes people act as if they're ashamed. There's something wrong if someone's ashamed. I'm not ashamed to tell you that tonight that I've trusted Jesus as my Savior. And I confess that He is my Savior. And I confess that I'm born again and saved, belong to Him. And I'm a follower of Him. You identify with Him by confession. People need to know you're saved. Well, and historically, one of the main ways, if not the main way, that a person made their salvation known was through baptism. In baptism, you're publicly declaring that you have become a disciple. In baptism, you're showing forth a picture of the message that saved you. Now remember, it's not the picture that saves. In the Old Testament, the lambs, that they shed the blood of the lambs and put it on over their door. Whenever the death angel went through the land of Egypt in the book of Exodus 12. And they put the lamb's blood over the door. That was a picture of what Jesus would do. When they offered a lamb every morning and every evening in Israel, they offered to shed a lamb's blood every day in Israel, two times a day. And they offered that lamb pictured Jesus. They weren't saved by the picture, they were saved by Jesus. You can't trust in the picture. You got to trust in the real thing. Baptism's a picture of the gospel. Death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15 defines the gospel message as Christ dying, being buried, and rising again the third day. Faith in that message is what the power of God and the salvation is. And when you trust that gospel message, He charges to your account His righteousness. Then you live right, not to get saved, not to get right, but because you are right. Baptism is the main way a person publicly professes that they become a disciple. I'm studying through the book of Acts on Wednesday night at our church. In the book of Acts chapter 2, it says, they that gladly received the word, that's received in the gospel. They that gladly received the word were baptized, and then they were added to the church of Jerusalem, and then they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. So, we're talking about the accessibility of salvation tonight. How is salvation accessible. How is it accessible? Well, it's not accessible by the law. Doesn't come with the law. We done showed you that. The Ten Commandments can't save you. Never could. Commit one sin, you're cursed, and that means you need a Savior. Well, it doesn't happen by great, it's not accessible by great effort on your part either. You don't have to ascend up to heaven. You don't have to descend into the abyss or ascend across the sea or anything of that nature. Salvation doesn't come by great human effort. How is salvation accessible? It's accessible by faith in the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, in His gospel message, the message of Jesus. You believe in your heart. You believe in your heart. And you confess with your mouth. Verse 11 says, of Romans chapter 10, verse 11, "For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed or put to shame." There'll be a day when those people that rejected Jesus will be ashamed that they did so in this life. The book of Philippians says that every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess, but then it'll be entirely too late. You got to be saved now. You got to believe on Him now. That's more than believing that there's a God. That's trusting that Jesus is your Savior. Realizing why He died, why He lived, why He died, and why He resurrected, then it's trusting Him. Whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. There is no difference between Jew and Greek. That's Jew and Gentile. It's the same Lord over all and is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's just, you don't have to have a degree in theology to understand that. Whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He'll save you. He can save you right there where you're listening to me. You say, well, that's not what other people said. Romans 10, 13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There was a man that was born blind that Jesus healed in the Gospel of John, chapter 9. And Jesus healed him of his physical blindness. Then He came back and healed him of his spiritual blindness. And Jesus said, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" And he said, "Who is He, Lord, that I might believe on Him?" And Jesus said, "He that speaks to you am He." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he trusted Jesus. Won't you do that tonight? This is an accessible salvation. And it's accessible only by faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. This has been Good Hope Through Grace. May God add His blessings.